In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So who here has heard of the Sermon on the Mount? Right? It's one of the more popular passages of Scripture. You know, we have the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23 and the Sermon on the Mount. But today in Luke's Gospel, we get the Sermon on the Plain. And the Sermon on the Plain sounds kind of similar to the Sermon on the Mount at first, doesn't it? You have the blessed are, blessed are. You know, itinerant preachers that go around speaking to different groups tend to reuse some of their material. Right? If you come to St. Thomas, you're going to hear me to come back around and around to some of my favorite themes as well. Different hearers hear different things at different times, right? And the hearer that you are today is different from the hearer that you were a year ago. So even if I did preach the same sermon, it would likely mean something different to you. So in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the Sermon on the Mount. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the Sermon on the Plain. Also in the Gospel of Luke, we have John the Baptist's proclamation from Isaiah. We read that a few weeks ago. John said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh see the salvation of God." So the prophet Isaiah, and later John, talked about this big public works project, right? Making a road that was really flat and level and straight. A flat place where everyone would see the salvation of God. And in our Gospel of Luke today, we found the flat place where everyone came to see the salvation of God. So picture this, right? Jesus comes to a level place and he's standing there, and people from all over are crowding around him. There are people from Galilee. There are people from his hometown of Nazareth. There are people from the Roman city of Tiberias, right? There are people from the capital, from Jerusalem. There are even people from those wicked cities, Tyre and Sidon. So there's this shocking diversity of people gathered, right? It's like, you know, where do you find that many different people in a single place, right? Maybe it's like going to an Eagles game, right? Although, you know, that is more or less excluding anyone who can't afford a ticket. So maybe it's like going to the parade after the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Everybody's there. And they're all crowding around Jesus. And Jesus is standing in this level place, right? A level playing field, right? And so everyone has equal access to Jesus. There's no hierarchy here. And all these people came to hear Jesus, but really they came to be healed, right? They're gathering around him, they're touching him, and power comes out of him and heals them all. They're not just here for a nice lecture, right? They're here somehow to be changed. Some are suffering physical torment or mental or emotional. Everyone has issues. But Jesus is present to all these people, teaching them and healing them and changing them. Jesus is an equal opportunity Messiah. But wait, that's not all the people here. Who are those other people standing off a little bit, right? Not really mixing with the crowd. Not really willing to rub shoulders among the smelly, loud, and uncouth crowd, right? Who are those people over there who are not accustomed and not even willing to play on a level playing field? Right over there, in the distance, there are some other people present. They're the rich and the healthy, the important, the influential. And Jesus is surrounded by the hoi polloi, and so, you know, they're kind of off at a distance a little bit. And so Jesus looks around at this mass of people around him. Needy people, ugly people, dirty people, hurting people. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you who are hated and despised. Because all of you who are poor and hungry and weeping and hated and yet have come to find Jesus, right? You are learning to enter into the kingdom of God. You are learning to trust God. You are learning to make God and God's love for you the defining reality of your life. Something is changing for you, and it's changing for the better. And here's where Luke's account of this particular sermon, or the one that Luke recorded, as opposed to the one Matthew recorded, is different. Because Matthew has, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. It goes on his way. But Luke says, blessed are, and oh, I see you over there too. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are laughing. Woe to you who are well spoken of. I like to be well spoken of. Woe to you who are too proud to mix it up with the crowd. Right? You are too proud to come approach Jesus. Do you remember Jesus' story, analogy, about the camel and the eye of the needle, and how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven? I don't think it's because God hates rich people. I think it's because rich people have trouble approaching God and being open to God. When one is rich, when one is full, when one is laughing, when one is well spoken of and feels like one has all one's cards in a row, right? All everything lined up and going well. The rich get hooked by their success. They get trapped by their well-being. When you're fat, dumb, and happy, there's no need for God. We can forget God because, yeah, I'm doing okay on my own. Thanks very much. What do I need God for? And you know, well-being like that, well-being that's self-made like that, it's kind of addicting, isn't it? And we'll do anything to hold on to that. Right? That is important in our lives. We'll make huge sacrifices to make that happen. It's like OxyContin or heroin. It has a narcotic effect. And so the good news is not that wealth and a full belly and a quick laugh and popularity are bad. The good news is that those are secondary goods. And when those go away, primary goods remain. Right? Knowing God does not mean lacking necessarily in money or popularity or a full belly or laughter. But it means that we put our hope and our trust and our dependence in something more. Something bigger, something more permanent, something that's not fleeting like those things. Right? To know God is to understand that the good things that we enjoy in life, those are not ends in and of themselves. Those are foretastes. Right? Those are not the completion. They're not the consummation. They're the beginning. They're the appetizers. Those good things that you enjoy in life, your family, your warm, dry house, your car that works well, whatever it is, those are foretastes of the goodness that God has for you, of something better. They're hints of God's kingdom. And so the invitation that we hear in today's gospel, the invitation of the prophet Isaiah, right, the invitation of our psalm today, the invitation is don't settle for those things that you can achieve with your hands. Because all the things we do with our hands, those are secondary goods. Don't get hooked, neither by the tragedies or the hardships of life, because those are secondary too. Don't surrender the joy that God is holding out for you for something less, right, for a temporary thrill. Thinking of, who was it, Esau and Jacob. Don't sell your birthright for a mess of pottage, for some red beans. God's kingdom is worth more than the best that we can achieve. And God's kingdom outweighs every hardship that we experience. And the best part of God's kingdom is the hardest part of God's kingdom. And that is that it's a free gift, right? That we can choose to cling to it, but we can't make it happen. All we can do is see that God offers it and hold on to it as best we can, reach after it. Remember that the good things we enjoy in life, they are a foretaste of something better to come. Remember that the hard things that we encounter in life, those are just reminders, right? Those are just prods reminding us not to linger because there's something better coming. Don't get stuck. As we press on in our faith, we will receive something that is better than any achievement that we can manage. A gift that is ours because of the perfect and eternal love of God. Amen.